Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. African football kicks off the August 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Qualifying matches for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon will resume the weekend of September 7th through September 9th. Our VOA football fans will remember Cameroon 2019 will begin in June, later than past Nations Cup tournaments, which were played in January and February. And it'll be the first Nations Cup to expand from 16 to 24 teams. Javier Aguirre, the new Mexican coach of Egypt, has named 12 overseas-based players for his first game in charge, a Nations Cup qualifier against visiting Niger on September 8th. Liverpool star Mohamed Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year, is the headliner. Coach Aguirre also recalled Ali Ghazal, who is based in Canada with Major League Soccer's Vancouver Whitecaps club. The 26-year-old Ghazal has made 5 international appearances for the Pharaohs of Egypt, the last of which came 4 years ago. The Pharaohs have the proudest Nations Cup pedigree of any African team, having won 7 continental titles. But the Egyptians are coming off a disappointing World Cup performance in Russia. Egypt lost all 3 of its matches in its first World Cup appearance in 28 years. Egypt's World Cup manager Hector Cooper of Argentina stepped down after the Pharaohs were eliminated, and he was replaced by Javier Aguirre. Some background information on Aguirre. He's 59 years old, and he was a midfielder during his playing days for Mexico's national team, and later he became the head coach of Mexico on 2 separate occasions. Aguirre was appointed Egypt's manager earlier this month after coaching Al Wada Football Club in the United Arab Emirates for 2 seasons. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with more African football news, is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. In Ghana, Inter Milan star Kwadwo Asamoah will captain the Black Stars in their AFCON qualifier against Kenya next month. The skillful midfielder has been named in Kwesi Appiah's 21-man squad for the match. However, Black Stars keeper Asamoah Gyan and his deputy Andre Ayew have not been listed in the squad. Staying with Ghana, FIFA recently reached an agreement with Ghanaian authorities to appoint a normalization committee to run football in the country. The decision was taken after a 4-member delegation from Ghana met with the World Football's governing body. FIFA has backed out of the August 27th ultimatum issued to Ghanaian authorities to withdraw a court case against the Ghana FA. Former Ghanaian international goalkeeper Abubakar Damba wants men with proven track records to be appointed into FIFA normalization committee.
All inclusiveness. It is very, very important to tap from everywhere, the minds of everybody, their experiences, then we can drive the nation forward.
President George Weah of Liberia will today induct former Arsenal coach Arsene Wenger into the country's Order of Distinction with the title of the Knight of the Grand Commander of the Humane Order of African Redemption. Wenger was President Weah's first European football coach. Liberian sports minister Zioga Wilson.
When we were ravaged our own country through the brutal civil, George Weah was the only positive thing coming for Liberia. He used his personal resources to help his fellow compatriots who were lingering refugees here. He personally trained the national soccer team, the Lone Star, to participate in continental competition because he wanted a positive image. These 2 gentlemen, they made that possible by giving him an opportunity. So today he's our president and believe why these gentlemen are alive. He must reward them for what they did for him. He must honor them. And that's why he made a decision to honor the two gentlemen.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We heard Sports Minister Zioga Wilson mention the Lone Star of Liberia in Samson Omale's report. The Liberians are in Group G in the qualifying competition for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Liberia will next host the Democratic Republic of Congo in early September. Liberia began its qualifying campaign more than a year ago with a 3-0 loss to host Zimbabwe in Harare. And I know President George Weah is hoping the Lone Star can bounce back at home against the DRC. Liberia has qualified for the Nations Cup Finals only twice, with its last appearance in 2002. But with an expanded field of 24 teams for Cameroon 2019, that should help Liberia's chances. More Nations Cup news. Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr, has named a 24-man team for a September 7th Nations Cup qualifier in the Seychelles. Coach Rohr recalled 18 players who represented Nigeria at this year's World Cup in Russia, where the Super Eagles failed to advance past the group stage. Two of Nigeria's most experienced players, Captain John Obi Mikel and Chelsea man Victor Moses, will miss the Nations Cup qualifier in the Seychelles. Rohr says Mikel is recovering from an injury, while Moses recently retired from international duty. Coach Rohr also gave first-time call-ups to several players, including 20-year-old midfielder Kelechi Nwankwo, who Arsenal has loaned to the Portuguese side Porto. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are in Group E in 2019 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying, along with Libya, South Africa, and the Seychelles. The Super Eagles opened their Nations Cup campaign more than a year ago, losing 2-0 to visiting South Africa. The Libyans are currently on top of that group after trouncing the Seychelles 5-1. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder and unbeaten former heavyweight champion Tyson Fury have announced they'll meet in a title showdown later this year. The announcement was made in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where Fury scored an easy points decision against the Italian Francesco Pianetta. I heard Pianetta described as an Italian statue, Nnamdi. Your thoughts on that Fury-Pianetta fight?
Well, Sonny, we can laugh at the Gypsy King as much as we want, but remember this. He pulled in 30,000 fans on a rainy night in Belfast.
I just want to say, Belfast, you are beautiful! I love you guys! Every time I come to Belfast, it's like a homecoming. It's like a homecoming for the Gypsy King. I promise you, I'm taking the WBC title, and I'll bring it back and defend it right here in Belfast.
Tell me that's not a draw.
They
talk now that he's got his mojo back, but who did he fight, really? This is his second comeback fight. Did we really see anything? Not really, Sonny. You don't come back with two fights and then get ready to fight a world heavyweight champion. But Sonny, really, you got to give the Gypsy King props for his weight. He dropped a lot of weight. He weighed in at 258 pounds for the Pianetta fight. He looked okay, but he still looked slow. So the fight with Deontay, It's a clash of styles, Sonny.
Wilder seems like he's going to show Fury a lot more movement. Your thoughts?
Well, he's going to show Fury not only movement, he's going to show him angles, Sonny. Not only that, he will also show him power. If he is able to drop that big right hand on Tyson Fury, we may count to 1 million. Tyson will be on the deck, man. But, you know, it's an interesting heavyweight fight, Sonny. These two guys, they're going to blow things up because they talk trash. The press conference will be fun for you to watch. They will make you run out of your house to buy the tickets because they will hype the fight.
But that's one thing Tyson Fury has never had. He had many belts, but he's never had the WBC belt. And if he ever think about having this belt, he better wake up and apologize to me because he'll never have this. I can't wait to fight you because I am going to knock you out. This I promise you. Every victim that stepped in the ring, I'd have knocked them out in devastating fashion. You've never been knocked out, but you're going to feel the experience, what it feels to get hit by the bronze bomber.
These are two hype men, you know. It's not just a boring fight.
A date and venue for Wilder Fury expected to be announced soon. Where do you think we're going to see that fight?
Well, they're talking about two venues. They're talking about New York and Las Vegas. But cut out New York. You don't want to go to New York in December for a fight. I mean, you're going to be dealing with snow. T-Mobile Arena is the venue that I believe it will be. And I bet you one thing, the arena will be sold out. Fans will come from everywhere, and it would be a good fight.
The winner of Wilder Fury, would they face Anthony Joshua?
It depends, Sonny. If Wilder wins the fight, then he believes he deserves a 50-50 split with Anthony Joshua. It will make the Anthony Joshua-Deontay Wilder fight very difficult to negotiate. If Tyson Fury pulls a huge upset, yeah, the fight's in April at Wembley Stadium will even be bigger than any other fight. So I believe I really want to see Tyson Fury win the fight because then it'd be easier to make the Anthony Joshua fight. But if Deontay Wilder knocks out Tyson Fury cold, then we have no choice but to take Deontay Wilder to Wembley Stadium in 2019.
What about AJ Nnamdi?
Oh, Sonny, remember the fight with the mandatory WBA contender Alexander Povkin, September 22, Wembley Stadium, Sonny. This will be the third time AJ will be at Wembley Stadium. Expect 92,000 people. He's been having good sparring. He's sparring with an undefeated Congolese heavyweight in Martin Bakole. So he's looking good in training camp. And the fight with Povkin will be a very good fight because Povkin will stand and fight. He will not have to look for Povkin. And it will be a knockout fight.
Another knockout fight for 2018, Nnamdi. The rematch between Canelo and Triple G, Saul Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin. What's going on with that rematch?
Sonny, there's been no buzz for this fight. And to make matters worse, boot camp decided to do what we call a split-site press conference. That has never been done in boxing.
What is that?
Boot camp, they hate each other so bad that they don't want to meet each other face to face. So Canelo decided to stay in Guadalajara, Mexico, and the Triple G in Big Bear, California. And the two cameras both pulled it together and put it on Facebook. But it looked really bad, Sonny. There's nothing like a face-to-face, you threaten me, I say I'm going to break your head, the security will come between us. Then we all get excited. But this split-side press conference was just a joke, Sonny. The fight fans have not forgiven Canelo for the drug bust. So the bust is not really there, and they're not doing a press tour, and they're not going around the cities promoting the fight. So I don't know, man. The buzz is not there, but we're still in August. So maybe by the beginning of September, they'll step things up. But they decided that they will not do press tour.
Nnamdi, Canelo tainted after failing a drug test. Did they implement any special drug testing procedures for the rematch?
Well, immediately the deal was signed, they decided to go with WADA testing, which means they can just come into your house anytime or come to your camp anytime, and you must give up samples. So I don't see anybody coming in juicing for this fight. Yeah, you must keep your nose clean because the testing is really, really strong. And I don't think he will make the mistake of having steak in Mexico anytime soon, Sonny. Oh, hamburger, bro.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Canelo, if you're listening tonight, no hamburger in Mexico, bro. Don't eat the hamburger, bro. And don't eat the steak either. It could be tainted with clenbuterol. Clenbuterol, that steroid that Canelo tested positive for. Don't eat the hamburger, bro. And don't eat the steak either. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening. I'm getting hungry. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, Ethiopia's Fekadu Kebede will defend his title Sunday when the 36th Mexico City International Marathon is run in the Mexican capital. Last year, Kebede beat Bahrain's Isaac Carrier in the final kilometer, crossing the finish line in 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 28 seconds. Now, the Ethiopian will compete against some very fast runners from Kenya in Mexico City, including Matthew Kisorio and Felix Kiprotich, who both have personal best times in the marathon, under 2 hours and 7 minutes. Sunday's race will honor the 50th anniversary of the 1968 Olympic Games, which were held in Mexico City. The marathon will follow the same course used at the 1968 Olympics, with the start in downtown Mexico City and the finish at the University Stadium. Meanwhile, the elite men's field has been announced for the New York City Marathon on November 4th. Defending champion Jeffrey Kamworor of Kenya will compete again in New York. Jeffrey is expected to be challenged by Ethiopia's 2-time Boston Marathon champion Lelisa Desisa, as well as by another Kenyan, Daniel Wanjiru, the 2017 London Marathon champion. Meanwhile, Eliud Kipchoge and Vivian Cheruiyot led a Kenyan sweep of this year's men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's look back on their victories. The 33-year-old Kipchoge, the reigning Olympic marathon champion, clocked 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 17 seconds. It was his third London title, adding to his wins in the British capital in 2015 and 2016. And 34-year-old Vivian Cheruiyot, the reigning Olympic 5,000 meters champion, won her first London Marathon women's title, crossing the line in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 31 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Vivian Cheruiyot. Take it away, Andy.
We had great marathon racing in London, and indeed, the women's race produced not only a fantastic result, but really it has to be called a surprise and some dramatic racing. And leading the drama was the women's winner, Vivian Cheruiyot of Kenya. Has it really sunk into you, Vivian, that you are now a 2 hours 18 marathon runner? That's a big improvement over 5 minutes from your winning time in Frankfurt last October. And it puts you on a par with anybody else in the women's marathon in the world.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm so happy today because of the race yesterday. It was so fantastic for me to cut to 5 minutes, to come to 2:18. It was unbelievable for me because I was thinking maybe I want to run to 2:20, and to run 2:18, it was so nice for me and it means a lot to me. So I'm seeing my future is bright ahead.
You talked after the race about how patience paid off for you. You felt that last year in London you were running a little too fast in the first half. Is that a strong asset, you think, in the marathon now, that you can be patient and you can run even splits, and that's going to be good for you in the future.
Yes, I said yesterday that I learned a lot of lessons last year because I was still fresh from track and field. And if you find like track and field, you don't have to leave somebody to cover like that. So I was just closing Mary. And I didn't think that Mary is a different person. He has been running for marathon for a long time. And for me, it was my first time too. Yeah, the other day, we decided with my manager, Ricky Sims, and my husband, that I have to be patient. I have to go with 69 the first half. And I did what they told me. And it works very well. And I trained well since last year because we decided to change some things, and it worked. It worked very nice.
Of course, that's a big difference in from track racing to road running, isn't it? Especially the marathon. That in track you don't really have the experience so much of somebody coming back to you. I mean, you've always got your rival in sight if you are behind, but you've had to learn that kind of psychological strength for the marathon?
Yes, I had to learn about it because marathon is a marathon. It's a long distance. And for me, I used to run like, if I do my training, it was like maybe 20 kilometers, that I can do. But now you have to do a long workout. Everything has changed a lot. So I was thinking that I have to be patient because if you are patient, everything is going to be smoothly because you cannot come from track and field and just say I want to compete with Mary, I want to run 2:15. That is impossible. You have to come slowly by slowly. Even the child, when he or she is born, he has to go step by step. He has to crawl and go and have to, yeah.
That's a great analogy. A child has to first learn to crawl and then run. Well, you are certainly running. I'm wondering whether the Olympic marathon 2020 in Tokyo, whether that was part of your plans before the race, but certainly now, given what you've run, 2:18, and you talk about 2:15 in the world record, but Tokyo in 2 years, the Olympic marathon, has that become a target for you now?
I don't have any plans about 2019 and 2020. It's going to come automatically because I cannot say what is ahead of me by now. When it comes 2019, I'll plan what is going to be happen on 2019 and then 2020. So I don't want to say much about 2020, but I hope to be in the team for the Olympics for marathon.
Well, Vivian Cheruiyot, many congratulations for such a wonderful performance to win the women's title in London 2018. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Vivian Cheruiyot, the London Marathon women's champion. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell. And that wraps up the August 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo will hold an election in December, hopefully leading to a peaceful democratic transfer of power for the first time in the country's history. Sitting President Joseph Kabila came to power in 2001, having succeeded his father, Laurent Désiré Kabila, after his assassination. Joseph Kabila was elected president in 2006 for a 5-year term and re-elected in 2011. Though his second term ended in 2016 and the DRC constitution prevents him from seeking a third term, elections were not held and Kabila remained in power. Following protests in September 2016, Kabila's ruling party and the opposition signed an agreement known as the Saint-Sylvestre Agreement on December 31, 2016. The agreement paved the way for elections, prohibited Kabila from running for re-election or changing the constitution, and committed the DRC government to a number of confidence-building measures intended to create the political space necessary for credible elections. In November 2017, DRC's National Independent Electoral Commission finally announced for December 23, 2018. Many feared President Kabila would nevertheless attempt to run for an illegal third term, but those fears were allayed on August 8th, the deadline for registering presidential candidates, when the DRC government spokesman announced that Kabila would not seek re-election. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the ruling coalition's announcement of a consensus candidate, other than President Kabila, represents a significant step forward for Congolese democracy, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. We are encouraged by this sign that Kabila intends to uphold his commitments to the Congolese constitution and the terms of the December 2016 Saint-Sylvestre Agreement by not seeking a third term. Government, opposition, and civil society leaders, along with the heads of the security services, share with President Kabila the responsibility of ensuring full respect for democratic norms. The Congolese people must be free to express their views and choose from the candidates without fear of violence, threats, or intimidation. We call on DRC's National Independent Electoral Commission and Congolese authorities to take the necessary steps to guarantee credible elections on December 23, 2018, said Heather Nauert. The DRC has an historic opportunity to ensure a peaceful transfer of power in December, and the United States looks forward to supporting this process in accordance with the established electoral calendar.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, pressure mounts on Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni over the beating and detention of music star Bobby Wine. And we'll discuss the legacy of Kofi Annan on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This